morning, if the Lord would allow me to share His Word with y'all's hearts.
Yes, sir.
I would like to share this idea that I see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would turn there. I'll give you my points ahead of time to just get them out of the way to make sure I remember to tell you. I see a few things in this passage. First would be, I say, the motivation. The second, I would say, is the ministry. The third is the message. And the fifth is the Messiah. Or the fourth, sorry. And when we look at verse 14, that's where we'll start out. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him." Which died for them.
Amen.
And rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we knew Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
Amen.
Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. Be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. I try to read slow so I read correctly. If I messed up, it's not my Bible. It's my brain. I'm dyslexic, so I have some word blindness. But first, I can see Paul's heart in this passage, his motivation for why he did what he did. He starts it out by saying in verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, it compels us, it drives us, it brings us to this point and this idea that if Christ died,
amen,
then we're all dead. And that he died so that we wouldn't live for ourselves, but live,
amen,
for him.
Right. Right.
To live, amen, differently than we did in the past.
Amen.
And to do his will and to accomplish what he would have accomplished. What Christ came here to do was to spread a message for God, for his Father, for himself. Christ came spreading good news and telling people of the gospel. When we look at this and it says that we are to live unto him, Paul is telling us that He has come to this conclusion that Christ has died, therefore we should live for Christ. He died for us so we should live. He's removed our guilt. He's removed our shame. He took it upon Himself.
Amen.
So that we could stand as the perfect righteousness of a holy God. When I examine what Christ has done for me, it compels me to come to this conclusion that I'm dead. And every desire that I have of my flesh should no longer be. My aim is no longer to complete what I desire, but it is to seek out and to act and to move in the will of God. So we can see His motivation. I like verse 17 where it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And when he says all things are become new, the very next statement is that, and all things are of God. All this new stuff, all that has become new is God's. And it's for His glory. It's for His praise. It's for God. And it is God's. This new life that we have, it was not one that we gave ourselves, but it was given to us by a holy God. And we should live accordingly. But verse 18 mentions that we have been reconciled. This idea, this doctrine of reconciliation is that we were alienated from God. We were enemies of God. We deserved God's wrath. We deserved His anger. And we deserved to be destroyed for everything that we were and are. But God, in riches of mercy, looked on us and took our filth and threw it on His Son. And He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What are we going to do with it? If we go to the next verse in 19. It says, to wit, this ministry that He's given us of reconciliation is about, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world, not only reconciling us, but reconciling the world, all the souls, everybody that would believe, whosoever will gospel, the world, unto Himself. It says that he didn't impute their trespasses unto them. Well, who did He impute them to? The Holy Lamb of God. But then it talks about, in the last part of that, it says that we have been given the words of reconciliation. I don't know about you, but when somebody took a Bible and shared with me the good news that I could have peace with a holy God, when I deserved to be destroyed, when I deserved to be cast out forever, He showed love to one like me. Amen.
And he's given me his word. And he's given me a ministry of sharing his word. And he says in verse 20, then we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. That word beseech, there's this idea that God is begging man to be reconciled to him. God, holy, just, perfect, righteous, is begging sinful man to come and have communion once again with him. Amen. To be washed of everything that they are and to become exactly what he made them to be. Verse 21, we can see the Messiah. The one who was preached so eloquently about last night. Who would come and be bruised for us. And that the Father would be pleased with bruising him and punishing him. And pouring out his wrath upon him. When I deserved it for an eternity. What God did in an instant, I deserve for an eternity. I tell people I love the idea that we serve a one God, but that he's a perfect God in everything that he is. He's perfect in his wrath, and he's perfect in his mercy, and he's perfect in his love. So when his wrath was poured out on his son, it was the perfect wrath of a holy God. Because on the cross we'll see that in one person, in Christ, is completed both. The perfect wrath of God and the perfect love of God in a picture of a cross. That God would send down a punishment and send out a message of peace at the same time. And he has given that to us. He requires from us to share it. It's one thing he's asked. What is to live for Christ? What is to live a life? We can talk about our standards. We can talk about everything else. But the one thing that God is beseeching man about, the one thing Christ came to tell is the very thing that he has given to us to tell. It's the very thing that God has desired for us to do. And it is to share. Just to share. Whether they receive him or not, he's worthy.
Amen.
He's worthy because he paid for them. But the thought that on that cross God saw the sins of the world. And when he looks at me, he sees perfect righteousness. Only God could do something like that. My desire is to share this message, and these missionaries, I know it's their desire, to share what God has done for us and what he's given to us with the people that God has laid on our hearts. Thank you, Richard.